Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
This is Dr. Michelle Cohen, and you are on the couch. Welcome, everybody. As always, a terrific show where you will learn a lot about yourself and hopefully others. Because today is all about improving relationships. The most common complaints that I hear from everybody who come in to see me, single men, women, married, any kind of partnerships, work, friendships, it's always one of the most popular subjects that I hear from folks. And the biggie, why can't I find the right person? Or, oh, why does my partner know how to push my buttons and trigger my anger? Oh, gosh. I wish, I'd be a really wealthy woman if I had a dime for every time I heard that since I started many years ago. So if you want to have a better relationship with your partner, or you're looking for love in all the wrong places, or been in and out of relationships that bombed for one reason or another, you're going to learn things about yourself if you stick around today. Going to kind of learn why things possibly haven't worked out, or why you keep cycling through the same old negative issues. Why do you do that? Why do we do that with our partners? I mean, we continuously bring up some of the same old things over and over. You know, there's this theory, of course, where we become addicted to that drama because our brains, our neural patterns, you know, we get that charge. We get that adrenaline rush. When we have that argument, that same old or the nitpicky little weird things, the really things that don't matter we argue about that are kind of stupid. But the thing is that they're deep down inside. In other words, the real things that we're fighting about are unresolved issues within ourselves, usually, and we're projecting them onto our partner. Usually, that's what we do. And that's okay because everybody does it in all of their relationships with family members or parents, when we become adolescents or older. And of course, with our partners. And it's also tough sometimes to find a relationship partner because we're really defensive. I can't tell you how many times I hear people talk about these dates that they go on. I mean, whether they're meeting someone in person or a friend has introduced them or whether they've met them online. You know, it's so fascinating because a lot of times it's sort of like, I have to defend myself for who I am, or I have to feel like I'm on an interview. You know what I'm saying? Or you have to interview other people. You know, we've got to take a lot of the stress and the pressure out of, you know, just trying to meet and greet folks who we want in our lives. And there are some key things you can do that we're going to be talking about today to handle those very things. I mean, really, I'm not going to tell you what it is yet. My special guest is. And then we'll take your calls or your emails. The number here is 323-203-0815. If you'd like to call in, you have a question or comment about relationship issues, whatever that relationship may be. Or, of course, you can email me direct here in the studio, straighttalkdoc, just like it sounds, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, and ask me a question and or my guest when he comes on the air live with me here. Now, if you're a regular listener, you know I'm a psychologist, and I specialize in helping people with their relationships, communication, understanding their body language, just how to make things work out a lot better. And you also know that I always close the show with the saying, be good to yourself and you'll be great for others. Now, I get a lot of comments going, that's kind of narcissistic. Gosh, Dr. Michelle, are you advocating that we're all self-loving and thinking we're wonderful and that it's everybody else's fault? No, I'm not saying that at all. It means that if you have yourself together, then you're going to be a better person in all of your relationships. You know, that's the way it works in the world. And I always say that at the end of the show as well. So you have to really kind of get your act together. And you really have to think about a lot of things. And I always encourage people to journal what they want in a partner. What are the deal breakers? What things can you sort of go for in a partner? And what things do you really want? What things do you love? But there's a catch here. You know what the catch is? Well, the catch is you've got to offer that too. Because you're not going to attract, well, you may attract someone, but you're not going to attract anyone that you want like that unless you clean your own act up. And that's the way it works, you know, here. So, you know, you guys just really have to get your act together and understand that that's the way it works in the world, you know, or you're not going to understand. My guest today is Alan Fox. You know who he is. Guys, he's been on the show several times. He's always such a great guest, wonderful author, intelligent man. And I love him on the show because he always gets such a great response. So the ratings go up whenever Alan's on the show. So I thought it would be perfect to have him back on. And the cool thing is that he has a new book. Perfectly. Works out great. It's entitled People Tools for Love and Relationships. The Journey from Me to Us. Mm-hmm. And what Alan is talking about are about 50 techniques. 50! So guys, everything's going to be covered here to help you create deeper, more meaningful relationships. So whether you grow your work relationships or want to expand your circle of friends or enhance the love between you and your partner or enhance yourself to find a great love, the book is going to really guide you. And it's really exhilarating. It's a great read, as always, because Alan's a wonderful writer. But he has had a lot of life experience, which has made him a very wise man. So I just want to bring him up on the air right now. By the way, Alan is the author of the previous New York Times best-selling books, People Tools. Remember, guys, I had him on a while back. 54 Strategies for Building Relationships, Creating Joy, and Embracing Prosperity. Got to get that book. And then, of course, People Tools for Business, 50 Strategies for Building Success, Creating Wealth, and Finding Happiness. And he's here right now with his latest book. Hey, Alan, so nice to have you on the show.
Well, Michelle, nice to be back.
Yeah, it's always great. Yeah, you know, we have such a good time together. And
absolutely.
Yep. Like I said, you help out a lot of folks. So let's get rocking so we can help some people here. Let's help. Help me. And guys, again, I encourage you to, write in if you'd like here. You can email me, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com, and give us a call if you'd like. You're on the line, 323-203-0815. So here's the thing. You are the man. You're the people tools concept guy. And this time in your Love and Relationships book, you talk about developing these techniques. So can you just share with us how you sort of got to developing some of these ideas and tools, as you call them?
Absolutely, Michelle. Mostly by trial and error in my own life, because yeah. I was not naturally good with people. And I started a law firm when I was about 25 years old, and I was really shy and scared to meet new clients. So went back to school and studied counselor education. And, there are a lot of ways to improve relationships and to get relationships.
Yep.
And I share in the book my trials and errors, successes and mistakes to help other people to do a better job earlier than I did.
Great answer. I mean, that's so true. I can't believe believe you, you know, had issues like that, Alan. Not you. Come on. Come on now. But you are a public speaker. You've been on a lot of television shows, I see. And, you know, you're an expert. Huffington Post, eHarmony, Meredith Vieira Show, Steve Harvey. Oh, you've been all over.
Yep.
You're always talking. So, you know, see what can happen.
That's true.
Yeah, then good for you. So I love it because you begin your book, Alan, with what you say is the most important relationship secret. It's the key to any successful relationship. So I've just sort of been teasing people about that so they can get it. So what is that key?
Well, as Michelle, as my first chapter says, the key is you.
Mm.
And I think in life you can take one of two attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
One attitude is things just happen to me. I don't control them, and my boss runs my life, or my spouse, or my children, or outside forces.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take that approach, you're not going to be able to improve your life yourself. So I say the key is you, and when you know more and have practice and experience at whatever it is, in this case, great relationships,
mm-hmm.
then you can do it better.
Is that true? And throughout your book, again, you talk about 50 people tools to help those relationships and how to get your act together. In other words, it's better, you say, to be the right person rather than find the right person. Be that right person, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you know, and that was the problem I had. I grew up and I thought, oh, okay, you grow up, you fall in love, get married, live happily ever after. And all you have to do is to find the right person.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were very happy for about 7 years and things got tough.
Yeah.
And the problem is, if it doesn't work out, I said to myself, well, obviously the mistake was I didn't find the right person yet.
Yeah.
And so got divorced. Got married again,
yep.
Same problem. And, you know, after that happened twice, I said to myself, you know, maybe I'm doing something wrong here.
Yeah.
Maybe I should think about my process.
Yeah.
And that's why I say you have to be the right person. Finding the right person is fine, but you have to work on relationships. And you have to be the right. You have to be authentic, and you have to be real with people, and you have to be very clear. And so it's more important to be the right person than just to find someone who's going to save you.
Oh, boy, is that the truth. Oh, that's great. In other words, you know, I love the phrase that you use in the book. You say, I'd rather be alone and together than be together and yet alone. So there you go, right?
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. Because, you know, I mean,
yeah.
If you get your stuff together and you doing your life well,
yeah.
That's very important. If you're just together with someone and you hardly talk and, you know, it's even more lonely when
yeah.
you're with someone and you're kind of estranged and doing your own thing and don't have a real relationship than being by yourself and, you know, having a good life.
Right. There's so many people that have, you know, grown apart because they haven't sort of worked on themselves or they're caught in that same rut that I was talking about a little earlier in the show. And it just, you know, you're so right. It's you've got to wake up and say, you know, I want to kind of be alone and together maybe because this is not working. And or what can I clean up about myself? You know, you share that formula. Happiness equals expectations minus reality. So what's up with that, Einstein?
Okay. All right. Well, you know, we all tend to have the idea that we're happy based on what happens to us in life.
Yep.
And I say, look a little bit deeper. We're happy. Yeah, Michelle, if you told me that I should go to a new restaurant and it's far and away the best restaurant I will have ever been to in my life,
mm-hmm.
and I go and it's good, but it's not quite up to your glowing recommendation, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
Whereas if I go and think, oh, it'll probably be nice and it's better than that, then I'm much happier. So I like to, like, lower my expectations and not expect perfection, and then I can be happily surprised. So deal with your expectations or expectations of others. You know, I try to never overpromise. I underpromise.
Mm-hmm.
I have a real estate business, and in terms of the investment return, people say, "Well, you usually have greater return, better investment return than you promised." I say, "Well, I'd like to surprise you on the happy side." So
there you go. Exactly. Good theory, Alan. By the way, in case you just tuned in here, you're on the couch with Dr. Michelle and my special guest today, Alan Fox, a special guest who's here several times and has talked about his earlier books, the People Tools books, the New York Times best-selling books. And we're going to tell you how you can get those books and his latest, which we're talking about today, People Tools for Love and Relationships, The Journey from Me to Us. Great, great title, man. That I went, okay, we're doing this. As soon as I got it, I said, we're doing this. We've got to talk about that. So I love your concept in here that you talk about to find your one and only. You know, some of us think that you have to merely find your one and only to get married and live happily ever after. But you have a people tool called My Many and Only. So what are you saying? Are you saying you don't believe that there's a perfect person out there waiting for each of us, or that we're supposed to be, you know, polygamous? What are you saying there, Alan?
Well, I'm just saying that you'll never know if the person you're with is the perfect person. In other words, I could be perfectly happy, I'm sure, with any one of 10,000 people, and I'm not going to get a chance to try 10,000, and I've been married for almost 35 years, and we're doing well.
Good.
And is my wife number one on the list of possibilities, or number 10,000, or number 300? I have no idea. And that's why I'm saying there are many people with whom you could live a very, very satisfying and happy life.
Yes.
So it's more a matter of being the right person and working on your relationship than believing that the only thing you have to do is to find the right person.
Wow. That is so true, Alan. You know, so many people who, you know, come into my office, they'll have relationships and then they'll start to find little things that they don't like about someone else, or they have these little, you know, tiffs occasionally, or they're starting to show characteristics that they didn't see in the beginning of the relationship when they were in the romantic dating experience. And then that's kind of an excuse, you know, like just like you're talking about. That's an excuse for, you know, blowing out of that relationship. Okay, next. Now, here they are, you know, 45 years old, and they're like, well, wow, better have kids.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about men, and the women in this case, you know, are usually, you know, late 30s saying, gee, I better get with someone fast because my biological clock is running out. But that's not necessarily true, because then you get desperate and just sort of go for whatever or whoever wants to have children. That might not be a good idea, huh?
No, absolutely not. And, you know, when you do get together with someone, and the children is a very good example, I talk about discussing core values. And core values are values which you won't compromise. And whether or not to have children is certainly one of those.
Oh, yeah.
And if one member of a couple wants to have children and the other absolutely doesn't, you better know that going in, because that relationship is not going to be completely satisfying.
Yeah, you're so right. So, well, you know, you might say some of the core values would be things like kids. You know, these are the deal breakers, right, Alan? How about ability to, you know, maintain a job functioning? You know, you don't have to meet somebody who's really wealthy, but you have to maintain, you know, provide for yourself and hopefully that other person. What are some of the other, you know, kind of like core values that you think?
Well, for me, core values, for example, I won't live with someone who smokes or who drinks to excess.
Uh-huh.
And also, a very important core value for me is someone who is relatively even-keeled.
Hmm.
I mean, you know, some days are better than others, some days we're happier than others, but someone who's totally volatile, and one day it's wonderful, and the next day it's awful, that really bothers me. So I like someone who's pretty even most of the time.
That's cool. So it's really important to sort of define those things, and sort of when you're getting to know people, possibly, just be aware. You know, you've got to be open and aware of certain things that may be your core values, or, you know, deal breakers, as we might call them, that you're just really not willing to deal with.
Exactly. And you talked a moment ago about being desperate and people tools.
Yeah.
Well, I figured out after 2 failed marriages, and I lived with them for 3 years, and that didn't work.
Yeah.
What was I doing wrong?
Yeah.
And in all 3 cases, the woman expressed interest in me very early in our relationship, like after the first date they invited me out. And I thought, boy, I don't I don't think I'm that desirable. So if a woman shows interest in me, huh, I better grab her and ignore any any possible problems. And turns out that was a mistake.
Wow, that's so true. You know, I hear that a lot, and people really don't have any idea how we feel about ourselves sometimes, do they? I mean, that's why they're grabbing and reaching out for you, because they say, hey, this person looks pretty cool and, you know, has their act together, so I'm going to reach out to them. So I love your chapter where you talk about a dispute over preferences. You say it's really just a power struggle in which even the winner loses. Oh, my God. Can you get more into this? This is such a great concept.
Yes, well, you know, if you have something that's important to you and you make a stand and talk to your partner, that's fine. But to argue about small things, about what movie to see, about what to have for dinner, that is usually just, you know, like in the barnyard, there's a pecking order, and the chickens,
right,
you know, figure out who's in charge and who's number two and number three.
Yeah.
And I think in our lives, in our relationships, we want to feel that we're in charge. So sometimes, and perhaps often, the fight is really about who gets their way and not about the issue itself.
Boy, is that true. It's who gets their way. And you know, there are ways, by the way, that you discuss in your book, People Tools for Love and Relationships, The Journey from Me to Us, in order to, you know, sort of like observe yourself, get your act together yourself, and then sort of, you know, observe the little goofy things that you're picking at, you know, that really don't mean a lot when it comes down to it. You know, there are deeper issues going on. So do you suggest that people work on themselves or go to therapy or do a lot of self-help and read your People Tools books?
Yes, absolutely.
Before they get into a relationship? Is that what you think people should do?
I think you should prepare for a relationship. You should practice. You know, in one chapter in People Tools, I'm suggesting that, you know, like, weave, don't leave. Try to make your relationship work. And even if it seems like it may not or won't, you should really give it a good try for two reasons. First, I've seen couples separate and then get back together and live happily together for many, many years. And you have to practice. So if you're working on your present relationship and it doesn't work, you'll be better prepared for your next relationship.
Yes. Yeah, it's so true. My goodness. And it's all a journey. I know a lot of people beat themselves up. I should have done this, or I could have done this, or maybe I should have done this, or I should have tried to change that person. You know, you look back, and we can only learn. We got to stop beating ourselves up about the things we could have or should have done. Right, Alan?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, you know, you really have to be a friend to somebody else. You have to be a friend to yourself and care about yourself. And we all make mistakes, and nobody is perfect. And you just have to learn that other people will accept you. And before that happens, you have to accept yourself.
Right.
I have one chapter, WAF. I'm in real estate, and sometimes the property is for sale, WAF, that's with all faults.
Yes.
Meaning, you know, if the roof leaks, too bad, buyer has to fix it. And in relationships, you are with all faults. Your partner comes with all faults. In other words, nobody's going to be perfect.
Yeah.
And so you have to accept that and understand that it's okay. It's not embarrassing to make mistakes occasionally.
Yeah, it sure isn't. I mean, that's how we learn. That's what we have to do. And sometimes it can be really painful, and sometimes we have to experience that pain so we don't repeat it again because it doesn't feel good. That's what it's about.
Absolutely.
Right? Exactly.
And I always learn a lot more about my mistakes than my successes.
Gosh, is that true or what? By the way, in case you just tuned in here today on the couch, I'm talking with author Alan Fox. He's been on the show several times. He's the People Tools guy, the New York Times award-winning bestseller of many People Tools books. And today we're talking about the one for love and relationships, The Journey from Me to Us. I have some calls, and I also have actually some emails coming in here on Straight Talk Doc @gmail.com about their personal relationships. We'll try to get to some of those questions that you may have for Alan. See, I'm putting it on you today, Alan, not me. You get to.
That's okay. <You're>
right. And by the way, I want everyone to know that today's show is sponsored by Expert, AskARelationshipExpert.com. AskARelationshipExpert.com. That's when you can't go in and see your therapist. Calling and talking to one of these experts is the next best thing. Day or night relationship advice that you can count on is only a call away. These are well-known, well-respected experts. One, by the way, is our very own former LA Talk Radio host, the ultimate matchmaker, Gina Hendricks. So if you're embarrassed to tell your friends you have the same problems again going on in relationships and you're wondering why you have no luck using dating sites, before you do any strange kind of intoxicated dialing or texting, why did a needy work, things like that, why don't you call the experts day or night? AskARelationshipExpert.com. Dr. Michelle, by the way, does not have a therapeutic relationship with you, nor is she a member of the AskARelationship.com staff, but she certainly says they're great people and they'll help you out. All right, let's keep moving on here. We do have some questions about people, tools for love and relationships. here's the biggie, Alan. People come to me and say, when should I get out of this relationship? So you have a great chapter. It's called Abandoned Ship. So while you generally advise people to stick it out when it, you know, really, you got to hang in there and try. So when is it a good decision to finally bail or leave a relationship?
Well, I think, first of all, if the relationship is abusive physically or emotionally, that's not something you'd stay with.
Right.
That's to me, that's just not acceptable, and it can be tough to get out because we're afraid of the unknown. And I think one reason many people leave a relationship is because they, you know, leave one person for another. Mm-hmm. It'll be better, and that's something I don't think is a good idea.
Yeah.
I think you have to get out when, for example, a friend of mine, her husband drank heavily, and he got mean when he drank, and she said to him, unless you stop drinking, I'm leaving. And he stopped for a while, and she stayed, and then he started drinking again, and it took her about 3 or 4 years, but again, if the behavior is repeated over and over, in my original book, People Tools, I talk about patterns persist, and if you identify a pattern in yourself or somebody else, when I go to a buffet restaurant, I eat too much. That's a pattern.
Right.
I avoid buffet restaurants.
Yeah.
And if you have a pattern in the relationship and it's continued for a while, you can expect that it's going to continue forever, and if it's not acceptable to you, get out, make room in your life for a new and better relationship.
Exactly. That's a really, really helpful, for listeners. This may be a good time to just kind of throw in. We have an email question here on straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. And this is from David. He would like to ask you and me a question, but I think I'll throw this one at you. He says, Alan, my wife just told me she wants to have open relationships because after 15 years of marriage, she feels like we are two old people with no excitement anymore. I love her and don't want to lose her. Oh, boy. How should I deal with this? Oy, that's a heavy one.
Well, that's an excellent question.
Thanks,
that is a tough one.
Mm.
Although I will say this. I was reading some articles just last week from people who tried open relationships, and it can work out if you have a solid relationship, and you know, if you have rules and whatever they are for you. There are books on this. Open Marriage by O'Neill was written a number of years ago.
Yes.
So I wouldn't reject it out of hand. At the very least, you can. I think David should give his wife a respectful hearing, not think she's a horrible person for wanting that.
Yeah.
And whether they do it or not is really not so important as really talking about an issue.
Wow.
Because that's a very, very important issue faced by many, many people. And I compliment David for bringing it up and his wife for telling him what she needs.
Wow. That is so open of you. And I agree with you. You know, it's just sort of part of what is your deal breaker. Is that, you know, one of your core values that's a no-no you're not going to deal with anymore? And that is so hurtful sometimes because maybe...
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And maybe also, David, this is a good idea for you to find ways by checking out the People Tools book for Love and Relationships to step it up a little bit. So she's feeling like you're two old people with no excitement anymore. Get a little excitement. Think of things and find ways. You know, Alan,
absolutely. I had a friend, yeah, and he and his wife, occasionally, like she would go to a bar, and he would go and pretend to pick her up at the bar. So, you know, kind of spiced it up.
Yeah.
And so see each other in a different setting, wear costumes. There's all kinds of ways that you can make a long-term relationship more interesting and exciting, but you have to do it intentionally.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So true. Oh, my goodness. Well, thank you so much, David, for your email. We sure appreciate that. That's a decision, and you both have to work through this. Maybe go see a therapist together, couples therapist, and get the People Tools for Love and Relationships. That'll help you out, guys. One of the most common things I hear in sessions with couples is one person will say, "You don't know me. You don't know what I'm thinking. You're wrong." And you talk about mind reading, which is so prevalent. So as much as we wish our partner would possess this talent, it's really irritating though, when they tell us what we think. What do you suggest as an alternative to this?
Well, that's so right. And I grew up with the idea that if someone really loved me, they would know what I want and what I don't want without me telling them.
Yes.
And I think maybe that's kind of an excuse, because if I tell my partner, if I tell my wife what I want, I'm risking rejection. She might say, "No, I won't do that." So if I don't even tell her, then I can't be directly rejected. I can blame her for not mind reading.
Yes.
And I found out I'm not a very good mind reader. So what you have to do is risk the rejection and be open and really communicate with your partner and tell them what you like and what you don't like. And I know couples. One couple, the woman really didn't like to be scratched with fingernails and didn't tell her partner for years and just suffered and expected him to figure it out. Well, you can't make somebody else responsible for your life, especially when you haven't even told them. And so, yeah, I agree. Go to therapy, but you gotta get away from mind reading. It really doesn't work.
Yeah, it's so true. It's really, oh man, I always say to my husband when he says stuff like that, I say, "Are you psychic?" Or when he doesn't talk to me, right? He doesn't communicate what he's really thinking or feeling. I'll say, "What do you think? I'm psychic? You got to talk to me here. You got to tell me what's going on." You know, he doesn't appreciate that too well. But then we have a good laugh about it. And that's about it. We move on. So we have another email that I'd like to read, which is another common problem that I hear, and I'm sure you do too, Alan, from folks who you work with. It's from a woman, Jennifer. She says, "I have a good job and am a successful, motivated person. However, I'm in a serious relationship with a wonderful man who I love, but he doesn't have much motivation to work. He wants to be an actor. I respect his creativeness, but he has no money, and I fear I'm going to be supporting him forever if we get into a long-term relationship. Is this a deal breaker?" Question mark. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Thanks, Jennifer.
Well, only Jennifer can tell that for sure.
That's right.
But as we were saying before, in my original People Tools book, I talked about patterns persisting. And if he wants to be an actor and doesn't want to work, actually, I have some experience with that because one of my daughters married a guy who was not motivated.
Yeah.
And And he continues to not be motivated, and they are no longer together. And it sounds to me like this is important to Jennifer. I mean, if you want to have a house husband who sits home and, you know, drinks beer and watches TV, I'm not going to question that, but it sounds to me like Jennifer really doesn't want that. So don't expect him to change. It won't happen.
Boy, is that true. And you can't change anybody usually. You can only kind of draw boundaries as to how they talk to you if you don't like the way that they address you or when they're in a bad mood and they sort of come at you. But really, you can't change anyone, right? We can't do that.
Absolutely. My father told me that when I was 21. I didn't believe him.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you're getting married, don't expect them to change. And, I was very optimistic. And I have to say, my father was right.
Yep.
And Yeah, take people as they are, and if that's acceptable, that's fine. And but if it's not, like a guy who doesn't want to work, well, then you should move on to somebody else.
Right, exactly. And I don't mean to be sexist, but that's one of the I really hear that a lot from women is, oh, I'm going to change him. I'll change him about that. You know, it's like, really? Okay, good luck with that. So, talking about money.
Well, you know, I once, the was very open with me. I wanted to date her, and she said, Alan, I'm sorry. I like guys who are 6'3", blonde and blue eyes. And I said, well, I can do something about blonde and blue eyes, maybe,
but
I'm 5'8". I'm never going to be 6'3".
That's right. Oh, you're so funny. Well, you know, that's another thing, and I want to talk about finances in just a bit, but, well, you just mentioned that. You know, if we're not attracted to someone, I mean, a lot of people say to me, I'm really shallow because I do like the whatever. I like the guys who are 6'5" or whatever, and they need to have, you know, blonde curly hair, whatever they want. I don't know. They need to look like Brad Pitt, something like that.
Right.
And
right.
You know, I said, well, if that's really important to you, then go for it. But you know, other people say, it's kind of shallow. If you're not attracted to someone, usually, it's going to be kind of hard to, I mean, it doesn't matter if they're the most wonderful person in the world and you can find awesome traits, and you're still going to have to look at your lack of attraction to them, right? You're always going to have to deal with that.
Absolutely, and there's kind of a chemistry, and if it's there, it's there. If it's not there, it's not there, and you can't make it happen. And I also think it's important to understand. You know, there's some women that wanted to go out with me, and I didn't care for them,
right?
And so they were disappointed. But you know, if someone doesn't want to go out with me, they're right. I mean, they have their standards, and if they want someone 6'3" or you know, someone who works in a different industry or whatever, that's okay. And I would say, you know, one mistake people make is listen very carefully at the very beginning of a relationship, because the other person will tell you about themselves.
Yes.
And if you hear something you don't like, you tend to just not believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and then 3 years later, you tell them you don't like them about that. Well, you know it from the beginning. So gather your information, and you got to be true to yourself. And I don't think it's necessarily shallow to want people who are good-looking or a certain age. And some women prefer older men. Some prefer younger men.
Right.
Okay, that's their taste, and that's
right.
What works for them.
That's exactly right. And again, if you're forcing yourself to try to overlook because of your worries about your body clock or all of your friends are getting married or, you know, whatever you're, I don't want to be alone and old and all that. Yeah, I mean, you got to really kind of take a look at what things will you be able to genuinely be happy with in the future, you know.
That's right. It's important that, you know, you're better off by yourself and having friends that you see than having a relationship which doesn't work. That can really, for me, when that has happened to me in my life, it really colors my entire world black. And that's not a good place to be.
Gosh, no, you're so right. You're so right. Guys, here I'm talking to the one and only Alan Fox. He's been on my show several times. He's the People Tools guy. This latest book he's written is amazing. It's The People Tools for Love and Relationships, The Journey from Me to Us. And really, it's helping you out how to whatever kind of relationship you want, whether romantic, even friendship or coworkers. It'll really help you out. You know, Alan's authored a couple of more New York Times best-selling books, the People Tools books, about building relationships and creating joy and embracing prosperity and success and all that stuff. So we're going to be telling you in a little bit how you can find out more about Alan and get these other books as well. And these are great, straightforward, easy read, but very comfortable, moving along books to help you out. And what I think is cool, Alan, is that you you share a lot of your stories, your lessons in life, and they're not boring. you know what I'm saying? You've read these books where people have these long and kind of drawn out stories. You get right to it and say, okay, here's the deal. I was in this situation, and my friend said, what the heck are you doing? And so I like the way you lay this stuff out. It's really good.
Well, thank you. I try to keep the story short and interesting. And since I'm 75 years old, I've had a lot of experiences.
No, you're not. And, you look marvelous. You look marvelous. That's wonderful. But you are wise, so there you go. Speaking about helping people out, I just wanted to quickly ask this one because, oh, gosh. I know you're a public speaker and writer, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of people and have been in those relationships yourself who really like to argue and fetch and all that. And I think the most common thing I see is defending ourselves. And you say the best defense is no defense at all. No defense. What exactly do you mean by that? How do we do that?
Well, you do it by just, for example, you know, if my wife says to me, hey, you know, you left your shirt on the floor and didn't put it in the hamper, it's easier for me to say, well, no, I didn't, or I was in a hurry, or, well, you left something on the floor, too. Well, that just leads to an argument and to a more distance in the relationship. All I have to say is, you're right. I'm sorry.
That's it.
And it's over.
Yes.
So, you know, you don't have to be defensive. If you did something, take responsibility for it. And, you know, if my wife is going to leave me over like dropping my shirt on the floor once, well, maybe the relationship isn't that good. So give your partner some credit, and you don't have to be right all the time. So
right.
I say don't get defensive.
Exactly. And, you know, I also believe that you agree with me that sometimes it's best not to try to have to prove yourself or your argument or what you, this is what's right. You know, there is no particular right per se. I mean, of course, there's the deal breakers, you know, like the Ten Commandments, things like that. But I mean, there's no, really, everyone has their own truth. I know that seems a little, you know, Age of Aquarius and all, but it's true. Everyone has their own truth and their own belief systems. And so I say, you know, it empowers people rather than to defend, as you say, it empowers people to say, when someone's arguing or trying to defend their point of view, you know, that's a pretty good point. Let me think about that. Or, I'll consider that.
Right. Yes, absolutely. One of my favorite quotations from Hamlet and from Shakespeare said, there's nothing good or bad, but thinking makes it so. And if I go see a movie with my wife and she likes it and I don't, that doesn't mean it's a good movie or a bad movie. We have different tastes and she enjoyed it. That's great.
Exactly.
And so I don't have to persuade her of my point of view.
Yep. What's so cool about your book, too, talking about defending, you talk about the I'm sorry stuff, right? So,
it's saying I'm sorry immediately and well is like, you know, putting out a potential forest fire when it's really small and you can throw a cup of water on it and put it out.
Right.
And, you know, I have a chapter of the five ways to say I'm sorry, and the first and worst is to say, you know, I'm sorry that you reacted so badly to what I said, because that's not sorry, that's blaming the other person.
Right. Then you
and
have
the best way to say I'm sorry is just a simple I'm sorry. You don't have to explain, you don't have to elaborate, just I'm sorry, and then, you know, you can have a closer relationship.
Yes, exactly. Sometimes people, when we say, I won't do that again, and we kind of do it because, oops, we forgot. You know, but we have to say, I'm really focused on not trying to do this again. I really, you know, I may just not be with it sometimes. But you're right. You have a great 5-point way of saying, I'm sorry. And the last one, a simple, like you said, I'm sorry. That's the one. That's what you just do. I'm so sorry. No defense. I'm sorry you're upset. Yes. You know. Well, yeah. I mean, you know, that's what we have to do. So, we were just briefly talking about money, and I know it's a big issue for everybody. So let's just touch on that real quick.
In most families, Michelle, people don't talk about, parents don't talk about money. They're embarrassed or whatever. Yeah. And I once met a woman, and, I'm in business. I have to know what salaries are and what people are paying for things. And she got a new job. I said, what are you earning? And she said, well, I wouldn't tell my mother that. I said, well, I won't tell your mother either. So how much are you earning? And she told me.
Yes.
That's important in families to talk about money. It's a very important issue, how you spend, what you want to allocate your money to, because all of us have limited resources. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just super important to talk about the tough issues. And money, for many people, is a very, very tough issue to talk about.
It really is. It's very difficult. So let's get to it here before we have to run. What is the one thing that our audience can do right now? All you guys listening out there, you're going to find out. To improve their relationships, whether they're dating or married, what's the one thing that they can do right now?
Well,
right now.
Yep. The one thing is, I borrowed a line from Death of a Salesman, a very fine play. Near the end, attention must be paid. You have to pay attention to your relationship. Never take it for granted. Mm. And especially after you've had a relationship for 3 or 5 or 10, or in my case, 35 years, it's easy to take it for granted. Pay attention and give just as much attention to your partner as you would when you just met them and are trying to impress them. Because if you pay attention, then it will go much, much better.
Right. And it's important to, you know, focus on the quality time that you spend with that person. Exactly, Alan. That's exactly right. And you talk about that and all the other things that can really help folks out. 50 tools to help you out in your relationships. The book, again, is called People Tools for Love and Relationships, The Journey from Me to Us. And there, like I said, there's 50 tools in here. With great stories about how you learned these tools. And also, you know, there's so much psychological stuff in here, which is really comforting and great to read. So thank you for coming out with another Good People Tools book for folks.
Well, you're very welcome. If people look me up at peopletoolsbook.com, they can sign up for my blog and find out what I'm doing currently.
Yep, exactly. That's People Tools. And, oh, the blogs are great, by the way. The PeopleToolsBook.com, PeopleToolsBook.com. They can find out so much about, you know, you, Alan, and, of course, pick up your other books as well. They were and are still New York Times best-selling People Tools, 54 Strategies for Building Relationships, Creating Joy and Embracing Prosperity, and the LA Times and USA Today bestseller, People Tools for Business. Those are the strategies for building success, creating wealth, and finding happiness. And now, of course, you got the latest book here for love and relationships. So you got it all, guys. It's all handled. Your whole life's handled here.
It's been fun, and a lot of people have written in and really appreciate and have made better lives, and that's why I do it. And that's I feel terrific when people let me know how they've been helped.
Exactly. And you know, you can respond to Alan as well on his peopletools.com. PeopleToolsBook.com, rather. So sorry. PeopleToolsBook.com. Thanks a million for being here. As always, you're a wonderful help to other people and such a fun guest to always have. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Michelle. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Take good care. We'll be in touch. Looking forward to your next book.
Okay.
Bye-bye now. All right. That's Alan Fox. And don't forget, folks, that the show will be up and available for a replay, download, whatever you want to do, as soon as we get off the air, actually. But all the information in the archives will be available for you, too, about what we're talking about today, in case you missed it, and also how to get more information about Alan Fox and all of his best-selling books, which are amazing. All right. It's time to go. Wow. It's flown by so fast. As I always say, do take care of yourself first, and then you'll be great for others. And that's the way it works in the world. Thanks for listening, guys. Be back next week with another intriguing, fascinating story from an author about how to change your thoughts and your mind and basically your life. Take good care. Bye-bye. Fires, 1,000 watts of sound.